This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 107. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. I'm so glad you remembered it. It was touch and go there for a bit.
It was.
I wasn't sure if he could maintain the 107.
I don't know if I could either.
107.
I asked you like four times what episode this was.
Yep. And then I saw the trepidation as your finger like hovered above the record button. You're like, 107. 107. Pretty much. Gotta remember 107. Yeah. And then the whole phone froze up on you and you had to reboot it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's lost forever.
But I managed to hold on to that fact that this is episode 107.
Outstanding. So, another week down the record books.
What tubes. A long week it was. You know?
Yeah.
What a long week it was. I'm on the mend. I'm not there yet. I'm getting closer.
Yeah, a lot closer.
I can see the light. Just still got a little bit to go.
A little bit. Not bad.
Still got a few days to go at least.
No. You're in much better spirits.
Oh, God. Last week to this week? No comparison.
No.
Yeah. I didn't watch as much shows and stuff.
No?
I did some reading. I watched wrestling. I just screwed off on YouTube a lot.
Snakebite videos, they'll get you every time.
Well, you know, you get on these rampages. Like I used to call it Wikipedia adventures, right? Start reading Wikipedia, and it'd lead me from one topic to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And then you get stuck on these YouTube voyages where you just get, oh, well, you want me to watch this video about unsportsmanlike plays in football? Okay. you want me to watch this one now, and then this one, and this one? Oh, you want me to watch, like...
Epic baking fails. All right.
Yeah, or, like, just even fail articles, like, I never watched really before, but now it's just like, all right, this is... People getting hurt is always funny. That's why the Three Stooges will always be funny.
Right. Right.
But, yeah, so I find myself getting lost in YouTube and wrestling, and I've been reading, and... I mean, issue 1000 of Action Comics is coming out tomorrow, and I'm actually looking forward to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big, monumental...
Really is.
Yeah.
First comic book to ever hit number 1000.
Wow. It's impressive.
Really is. So, anywho, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the shows and shit we watched.
Yeah. I didn't watch shit.
I mean,
granted, you always turn around and look before you flush, but,
right.
You know, I don't actively watch it.
Yeah.
That was a poop joke for anybody who missed it.
I got it. Don't worry. Okay, I picked up what you're putting down.
You picked up poop.
With my bare hands.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, Flash came back.
Did it? Did I watch Flash last week? Hold on, let me think. Is this the Breacher episode?
With yes.
Danny Trejo?
Yeah.
I watched it.
Null and Annoyed, where we also had Null, the one who like can make things really light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it.
Yep. Good. You're saying that like it's a major accomplishment. Like, I remember to watch a show that I watch all the time.
It was that good. No, I don't know. I like Danny Trejo, I guess.
Yes.
So the two major things that came out of this for me was the doctor's wife there.
Yes.
Discovering that she's being, not poisoned, but
basically
manipulated.
Yes, dosed.
With the Weeper's tears.
And it was really creepy to find out that she's had this happen multiple times.
Yes, and she, like, made a video and titled it something so she would remember.
New lemonade recipe.
Yeah, and then saw, like, oh, it already exists.
Yeah.
And then saw that she had discovered this time and time again.
He comes in and he's like, it's funny, you always name it the same thing every time.
Yeah, it's, that's just kind of like really creepy, kind of crazy.
Yeah. And by the end, she goes right back to work on what she's working on and it's doesn't like, even realize.
Yeah, she's caught in her own time loop and doesn't know it. It's kind of screwed up.
Mm. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Breacher losing his powers to Vibe.
Yeah.
And then offering Sisko his job.
Yeah.
It's that way he and his daughter can, you know, work together and be more friendly. I don't see Sisko leaving
the show. No. But the whole thing of him losing his powers is that, you know, he's
old.
Old.
But
he's aging.
They didn't say how old, but it was implied that it was not human old.
Right.
It was older than that.
Yes. So. And now he's going to go on vacation and enjoy retirement and
wear Hawaiian shirts.
Yep. So he can still breach. He just can't shoot out the beams of Vibe energy.
Yeah.
And then we also had one of the other bus metas, Null, who could basically make things super light and then fall back to Earth. It was kind of weird. She basically nullified gravity for a short period of time until she decided. And
that's also, this episode revolved around, so there was a big hairy thing at the end too.
Yes.
That was kind of weird, right?
That was weird. Him going into the original Wells' room and talking to Gideon. And
which I'd never even thought about Gideon there and Gideon on the ship, by the way.
Yeah.
So just
and don't forget that Barry created Gideon.
Yeah.
According to Flash.
Right.
Show.
And you have Gideon says to him, oh, it's been 1,000 blah the days since we last saw you.
Yeah.
And he's just like, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Right. Is the thinking cap really affecting him like that? They had said that there was a possibility, you know.
Yeah.
He could turn into the next villain.
Right. And then, who's this, the Elastic Man? What's his?
Elongated Man. Ralph.
Ralph. Thank you, Ralph. This episode's all about Ralph's got to do it his own way, and Barry's got to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Because Ralph's a goofball.
Yeah.
He likes to joke around and goof off and, you know, just kind of wing it. And Barry's like, no, need to be serious, need to have plan, need to follow protocol and stuff. And he benches Ralph and then realizes through, you know, mistake. Iris talking to him that he shouldn't have benched him. And Ralph comes through in the end because, you know, he puts the cuffs instead of on her wrist, he puts them on her ankles, and that still nullifies her powers, which drops Barry out of the sky at an accelerated rate, which is ridiculous because he'd still be. But anyway, Ralph turns into a giant whoopee cushion and breaks his fall.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, he just can't let the air out or go back. He's got a fart.
Mm-hmm.
Fart noise.
Yep. Because, you know, it's Ralph. Ralph got to be Ralph. All in all, good episode.
Yeah, wasn't terrible.
They tackled an awful lot of stuff. We didn't see the mystery girl in this episode.
No, we did not. But they opened a lot of doors.
Yep.
Legends finale.
I came to a realization.
Yeah.
And I messaged you about this realization.
Yeah.
So the first season of Legends was very serious.
Yes.
You know, they introduced Vandal Savage. They introduced Hawk Girl and Hawkman. And, you know, we had very serious, somber moments. And, you know, we ended up with Captain Cold sacrificing himself. And it was a very, like dark kind of. It wasn't as dark as Arrow, but it was a darker series. And then starting with the second season, it started getting weird and kind of dumb and kind of goofy. And I remember us complaining about it a lot.
Yep.
You know, why is this so stupid? Why are they doing this? This is retarded. Why would they do that? And now in the third season, it's like they've come full circle.
Yeah.
They've become so goofy that they're actually good at it.
Yes.
It's now a guilty pleasure.
Yes.
And it works.
Yeah.
To the point where they summon Captain Planet, as we've been predicting all season.
Right, yeah. They, you know.
And they did a Ghostbusters kind of thing where they're like, think of a being of pure light and you know, something that's uncorruptible.
Because the first time they tried it, it was some weird, almost demonic-like creature gimmick thing.
Like arms and legs sticking out in different spots.
Yeah, it didn't work out well. And then, like you said, there was like a Ghostbuster thing, like think of something pure and brilliant.
Yeah, and then somebody goes, I'm going to peek, and they're like, oh my God, no. Who thought of this? And Steele was like, you know, well, you said pure and good.
It's the only thing I could think of. Yeah.
And it's a giant Bebo.
Yeah. Like, not even like, Like a giant Bebo that still can't move around either. Right. Has limited mobility.
Right.
To battle Mollus. This villain they've built all year as being this ultimate evil, ultimate bad. And now
that he's a giant demon with horns and wings and, you know, stands like 12 feet tall.
Yeah, and the main thing he's going to be battling is a giant Furby, basically.
And they even bring it back because they bring back some of the old, you know, like Leif Erikson's sister, yes. Blackbeard and stuff. They bring them back.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're fighting them. And Leif Erikson's sister goes, oh, the blue god has returned.
Yeah. Oh, the other big thing that happened in this episode, of course, is we go back in time, if you will, and Ray helps Damien help Nora.
Right. And trade places, basically.
He basically, like, Damien, like, trade places of Nora and brings Mollus into him so that Nora can be free.
He didn't mean to do that. He was trying to cast out Mollus, and Mollus is like, what, you didn't think that I had a plan for this? And
yeah.
Jumps into Damien.
And he's accepted. He's like, yeah, whatever, that's cool.
Yeah.
So now it's Damien's been ripped apart. We don't know if he's dead or not.
Right.
It's assumed.
Yeah.
And then Mollus and Bebo proceed to have, like, just the worst TV fight ever, maybe.
Oh my god, it's awful! Like, and the CGI is cheesy as shit,
and it's really not. It's not a huge battle like you would think you're going to see.
But Bebo does strike the pose and do the Morpheus thing from Matrix, where he does the, you know, come on.
Yes, of course he does. And then in the end, Bebo destroys Mollus and explodes
By hugging him to death.
Yes.
Yes. He embraces him.
Mollus goes to fly away and jumps in the air and hugs him all the way back down into the earth. Yes.
Creating a giant crater and an explosion of a pink heart of love. It was
so great.
It had to be that way. Like, I'm watching it, and any other day of the week, yeah, I would have been like, this is the dumbest thing on TV. But Legends has reached that point,
yes,
where it is so, it's almost like the what if of comics now.
Right. Yes, it happened. I just went, okay.
Yep. This seems absolutely perfect for them. Yeah,
this seems like, I don't see anything wrong with this at all, actually.
No.
So that was great. And then, of course, Ray helped Nora escape, essentially.
Yeah.
He gives her Damien's time stone.
Yeah, because she's being taken in by the Time Bureau.
Yes, and she's good now, or at least Ray sees the good in her.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens there.
Yep.
And then I like how it ends with, oh, and then Amaya goes back to her people.
Yep. We got to see some of the other Legend-type things because Jack showed up.
Yes.
And for him, it's been 5 years. He's got a wife and a kid. He's living a happy life now.
Yeah. Oh, and what's her face there? Amaya's other daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Granddaughter. The one that had been killed, she had the water stone in her and it got ripped out. She got killed. She's alive.
Because they changed the past where the village was never overrun, so she never had to go through all that. So,
and they shared, and they had, they, and she shared the totem with her family, and so she's all happy and good now.
Yep. Then, she's a good guy.
And then who else did they bring back?
Ava was there. Rip.
Oh,
Rip
Ava.
Sacrificed himself.
Yeah, Rip sacrificed himself.
By destroying the time drive of the Wave Runner.
To send Mollus away.
Yeah, just to stop him for a little while.
Stall him for a little bit, yeah.
You know Rip's not going to stay dead.
No, probably not. No.
But yeah, Ava was there. She brought them back.
And Ava's like, I've accepted what things are. You need to accept it now, Sarah.
Yeah. And they had their kissy, touchy, facey moment.
And then I like how it ends and they're all on the beach. Like, it ends with Rory on the beach. And then when they pan back, it's all of them. That's a great idea, right? Yep. I wanted to come alone. You know, like, typical.
Right.
And then I love it when
Gary
shows up dressed as Constantine.
Really badly.
Yes.
Like, the wig was terrible.
And it's just like, Gary, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. I just, he's with me, love. And then, you know, here's Constantine. He throws, like, a dragon head down at their feet. And he goes, do you really think we opened the gates of hell? The only thing that got out was Mollus. And I literally, like, if I could have jumped up off the couch, I would have.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah!
Next season is going to be all about the supernatural and the demons. And yeah.
Like, not crappy supernatural that got renewed for a 14th season. But, like,
it's all because of Scooby-Doo.
Constantine.
Yes.
Matt Ryan Constantine.
Yes.
Going to be on Legends.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
I hope this leads to them bringing back the show.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love that. That'd be great.
So, yeah, so that was pretty badass.
Yep.
And I'm excited for next year's Legends.
Yeah, me too. Because I finally come to realize that that's what Legends is.
I've really enjoyed this season.
I have too.
I mean, there's been a couple. I mean, it hasn't been perfect all the way through.
No.
But I've really enjoyed this season.
Like seeing Damian Dark show up in a blonde wig to pretend to be Thor. I mean,
yeah, that was fun.
It was so over the top that you're just like, yeah, okay. Literally watching Bebo fight Mollus and hug him to death
Yeah.
This is where it had to go because this is what this show is now, and I'm okay with that. Because I'll tell you, I caught up on Arrow, and still just as garbage. Like,
are they still battling each other?
Kind of, but not really. They hate each other, but like one episode revolved around, oh, they destroyed all the Vertigo, so you know they've cut off the drug supply. Oh, but there was one vial left, so somebody dosed Oliver. So he spends the whole episode like battling his demons and the images in his head that are telling him that he's not good enough, and you know that he had a mission, and so he puts on the old hood, you know, the cloth one. And yeah, it's just it's not a good show.
Sorry, I dozed off there for a minute.
Yeah, it's. It needs to go away. Arrow did its purpose. It brought the other shows into existence. Now it needs to go away.
Well, I'm excited for Supergirl to be back.
Yes.
I know some people don't like it. I like it.
That's too bad, because it's a really good show.
I enjoy it. But yeah, Legends is definitely a guilty pleasure. It's just, I don't know, I enjoy the hell out of it.
I used to hate it. I almost stopped watching it. I know my sister had stopped watching it. I messaged her, and I'm like, you know what? This has become a guilty pleasure. She's like, ever since Constantine came back, I started watching it. And you're right, it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
I think the idea of Constantine being on the season helped me, like, I need to watch this.
Right.
Because I want to see him. Yep. I want to be caught up. And then I think it just helped me enjoy it so much more. I mean, think of some of the great moments. Like, how long did we talk about Return of the Mac, for crying out loud?
Oh, my God.
Just that one little scene, how awesome it was.
Yep.
So, anyways. Yeah. Timeless, did you watch Timeless?
I did.
Back in the old Salem Witch Trial days.
Yes.
Yeah, what'd you think of that episode?
Okay, I thought, it was a great episode.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on what's going on with Wyatt and his wife there.
Oh, that's such garbage. She is Rittenhouse.
Jessica. Yeah, because basically they're like, oh, looks like the lifeboat went back to 1983 for a little bit. Yeah, they went back and they prevented her death.
Yeah.
And now it's created this timeline where he's apparently a drunk, unresponsive husband, and she never knows where he's going to be. So she's filing divorce papers, and he's like, I need to save her because she's my wife. And I get it. You know, she was killed, and he feels a lot of guilt over that.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought he had moved past it. And
well, especially seeing how he's just now like, all right, I'm going to accept that I'm in love with you and we're going to have a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, now my ex-wife, my dead wife is back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I didn't care for that.
Yeah, and obviously Rittenhouse set him up. You know, they literally took the mothership there.
Yeah. Yep. I did like Flynn going on the trip.
I did too. He's like, I could handle flying in one of these things. I was doing it for years. And they're like, dude, you've never been in the lifeboat.
Yeah.
It's a rocky ride.
I like they wouldn't give him a gun, and then he finally found a gun.
Took him forever because they were Puritans. He's like, you look like a hunter. You've got to have a gun on you.
It was a good episode.
Yep,
I liked it a lot. The one thing I kind of they've always respected history, and that they haven't changed it on purposely, deliberately, really hard.
And this time they really did.
This time they really did. They basically made like the Salem Witch Trials never happen.
It's now called the Salem Witch Revolt.
Oh, no, not even the Witch Revolt, just the Salem Revolt. They took the witches right out of it.
Yes, yes.
Which is just like, well, there goes their tourism down there.
Yep.
But, innocent people were...
And now there's no longer a common phrase of witch hunt.
Yeah, exactly. The term witch hunt's gone, too. So, like, they've never changed, like, they've made up their own history and then changed that so that it kind of falls in line with what actually happened. But this time they really just, they dashed it. Which,
and Lucy was okay with it. Yeah. She's like, I don't care. Whatever happens, we just got to stop my mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, wow, her mom.
Well, she's got that redhead with the, you know, nuclear freckles.
Right.
Who keeps like, well, if you're not willing to do it, I'm willing to do it. Who apparently spent this entire episode laying on a couch. She'd just pop up and be like, it was like a Sesame Street Muppet. You know?
Yeah.
She'd just like pop up from behind the couch and be like, hey, well, you need to do this.
Manipulating the leader.
Right.
I think is what it comes
who hates to. The exercise bike.
Yeah. And who doesn't care. Oh, we got to. My granddaughter's a pain in the ass. We just need to kill her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's who he is. I mean, he's a sociopath, psychopath. Whatever.
Pretty much, yeah.
Was it Gia and her visions?
Yeah. she finally tells Rufus.
She tells Rufus about it, and she sees Rufus having kind of like a standoff for the guy and killing a guy.
Yep.
And Rufus is like, well, that's not going to happen. And then they see the guy that she described, and so they assume he is a Rittenhouse agent of some kind, and he's not. He's just some local.
Right. But they go after him so hard that now he's involved.
Exactly. And then, so he's like, and then the guy ends up, he doesn't end up shooting the guy. The guy, he talks the guy out of it, but then the guy gets run down by a carriage.
Which is kind of, like, it seemed conveniently placed.
Hit by the bus in the road.
Right, right. Except they were in the middle of the forest, and a carriage just came by. I was like, ah.
Well, I think the carriage had something to do with the hangings. We'd seen it earlier, because they're gonna kill all the witches.
Right. It's quite possible.
Oh, also, they gave Benjamin Franklin's mother the last name Franklin on the show, even though that wasn't her real last name.
I was going to say, didn't she have to be married for that?
Right, yeah. I looked it up. It's something else.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
Yeah. We'll let that one slide.
Yeah, I still like the show a lot.
Oh, yeah. But Wyatt bringing his wife down to the bunker.
God, that was so stupid. She clearly,
And the boss lady's just like, what, you think I don't want to bring my family down here? What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then she sees the scientist. She's like, oh, you're him. And, oh, watch, we're going to bring a time machine back in here. Yeah, you know she's got to be Rittenhouse. She knows that they basically saved her life. And they're like, in 6 years, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the old Marty McFly, you know, drop the letter off this point.
Right. She's evil.
Yeah. Now Rittenhouse is going to know where the bunker is. And...
Yeah, so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid.
I didn't like that aspect of it, but.
Let's see. Lethal Weapon this week. Which one was this one about?
Oh, this one was, okay, first off, Roger's teaching his daughter to drive.
Oh my God. I still enjoy the show. I just wish they'd get rid of Murtaugh doing anything.
He can be Riggs's partner,
yeah.
But stop having him, like, stop showing his family life stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's really dumb.
It's very stupid.
Yeah.
Especially him getting out the cup of soup and putting it on the thing. Like,
as his wife said, when's she ever going to order soup? Ever.
Yeah.
When is she ever going to be carrying soup in that car?
Yeah. So I don't care for the Murtaugh side of things.
No. No, I don't either. It's ridiculous. And this was the old man hitman, you know, who early in his career, yes. Back when Roger was a beat cop.
I did like that aspect of the storyline where Roger's like, my daughter's going to be born. Don't do this, whatever. And the guy doesn't kill him.
Yep.
And then fast forward.
Yep.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. And then I liked how Riggs actually reached out to his dad.
Yeah.
Because of Murtaugh. That just shows how much he likes and loves and respects Murtaugh. And then his dad gets stove up in jail because of it.
Yeah.
And Riggs actually goes to visit him. And you can see his dad just like, I get the assumption from being in jail, his dad's dying.
Right.
And he's trying to make amends.
Yep.
And of course, Riggs doesn't want anything to do with him, justifiably so.
Right.
What we've seen.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, it's still his dad.
Right.
And that's, your parents have weird bonds on you when you're a kid, or like I hope I don't screw my kids up this way, but like, you know, like, I don't think I will,
right.
But I'm just saying that like, you, like, it's so weird the bond between family,
mm-hmm.
and loved ones when it's, when they do something and you just can't, no matter what, you just, it's just, it's so hard to wash your hands of them.
Right.
No matter what they've done.
Yep.
And then, of course, the father-son thing or the mother-son thing, mother-daughter, father-daughter, that's even worse and harder and everything to, even when you have a shitty childhood, to eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at the end of the day, it's still his dad. And you have the person, you know, the hospital staff basically saying, like, yeah, he lived through it this time, but they're not going to stop.
Right.
And... If my son was a cop, I'd be pulling every string I could to get him out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, big old guilt trip laid on his
right
as well, and then the episode's over. But it
was one problem that I had with this.
Yeah,
they love to in these shows, like in this case, you know, they figured out who was trying to frame this guy, and immediately, oh, he was Army Special Forces. Yeah, they're always Army Special Forces or Navy SEAL or Green Beret or something.
Some sort of ranger.
You know, it's not just like, hey, this guy was in the Army. He was pretty good shot.
This guy's just a normal guy.
Right.
Yeah.
No, in this case it was, oh, he's Army Special Forces and he was in the Sniper Division.
Yeah.
Well, then how did they live when they drove the car up there? Because He should not have. I get that it's a semi-auto sniper rifle versus a bolt action, but he should not have been peppering them with so many shots were missing.
Right.
If he's a sniper, he's trained to take the shot that hits.
Right.
Not to sit there and lay down cover fire.
Right. Exactly. I get what you're saying. 100%.
So, you know, he starts. They come in there and they're like, "Oh boy, he's got a bead on us!" And he's like, "Bam, bam, 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 bam." And I mean, there were times when like Roger's driving backwards and there are shots coming in the windshield. And, like, missing him, not happening.
No.
No. He would have been
wrecked. He had that level of training they bragged about.
Exactly. Yeah. He had height. He had a great position.
Oh, yeah.
He had a bipod set up on the end of the gun. I mean, he was stable. He was set. So that kind of bugged me, but whatever.
The Blacklist. I'm moving on.
Yeah, Blacklist.
Good episode.
Great episode.
Opium drug lord from Middle East, his son who's in France gets kidnapped and they ransom him.
Yep.
Red wants this guy because of Darby. And so we have Red and Dunbay and Rustler and the girl there, Mojave
Desert? Samar.
Oh, God. That was Mojave. Yeah, Samar. They're in Paris.
Yeah.
Basically, the long and the short of that storyline is kid's being ransomed. Dad's going to pay the ransom. Red kidnaps dad to get what he wants. Finds out kid's being ransomed. Now he's going to get the kid back for dad. They involve the catacombs under Paris. And there's a shootout. People get killed. And dad and kid are back together. And Red has his debt that the guy owes him.
Yep.
And the guy at one point was a informant for the CIA, but no longer is. And he's still a big opium drug lord guy, and he works with and for the Taliban against them as well. And that's that storyline.
Mm-hmm. The other one that's – I'm still not sure how I feel about it,
yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent, is Liz and
Darby's.
No, the computer guy.
Aram,
thank you. They're working together because they're trying to track down where Garvey's going to be and what he's doing. They find out that he goes to this one restaurant.
Every Friday at 12:30, and it's 50 miles out of the way.
Yep, and he's not meeting with anybody. He doesn't meet with anybody. He just sits there and orders his stuff and then leaves. And they realize that he's there for a waitress. And so after she leaves, they like accost her and take her, and Liz is talking to her, and she's like, you know, "Oh, you got to get away from him. He's a bad guy." And she's like, "No, he's a good guy," and basically says she's been in witness protection.
But Liz also breaks down her entire case against Darby first, saying, "This is what he did.
Yeah.
This is what we know. I want you to fill in the gaps."
Yeah. Yeah. We know all this stuff. So you're just a person off the street. You're going to help me out with the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb move. But yeah. The girl says she's in witness protection because, you know, Garvey's been keeping her safe all these years from her father, who's a psychopath. And, "Oh, my father, you might have heard of him. His name is Red Reddington." And, "Wait a minute, that's my father, too." You know, I mean, Liz, like, tips her entire hand, throws her cards on the table.
Well, okay, so when she announced that her dad was Raymond Reddington,
yeah.
I was just like, huh, I wonder how long this is going to go on where Liz doesn't tell her. And they have this unspoken thing going on, and Liz knows, but she doesn't
know. Before you
could
finish the thought.
Yeah, and then Liz is like, "That's my dad, too." And I was like, you know what? I'm actually kind of glad they did that.
Yep.
Instead of milking this and stringing that along.
But part of me is wondering, okay, is this real? Or is this Garvey, like, keeping an ace in the hole, kind of? Or, like, this girl's a plant, you know? I'm going to show up here every day so that they take this girl into their confidence and she can be a mole for me, kind of thing.
That's a very big play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very big play.
This is a game of very big plays. I mean, these guys are really going at each other. See, now this is another example of the internet sucking dick.
Yeah.
Because the next day after this aired, I'm sitting at work and I open up my Google News app. And the very first thing is, "So, the Blacklist just introduced another family member for Red Reddington. Do you think this is real?" And I'm like, "You're dicks. I haven't even watched this episode yet."
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So, and that headline kept popping up, and there was another one that's like, you know, "Do you believe this twist that girl really is Reddington's daughter?" And I'm – now, the whole time, I'm thinking, oh, so they finally identified the bones and said that they're Reddington's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And then I see this at the end of the episode, and I'm like, what a dick move. Like, that's a pretty big thing. They kept it till the end of the episode. Why wouldn't they put, like, spoiler alert or something?
Because people suck.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet does suck.
They suck a lot.
Yep. Overall, good episode.
Yeah, I liked it.
Not sure how they're going to do this going forward, but we'll see.
Superstore.
Lottery.
A lottery episode. It was solid.
Yep.
I liked how the winning numbers were the numbers from Lost.
Yes.
That was funny. And when some guy gives, like, Garrett the ticket, and he's like, you really think the winning numbers are from Lost? Yeah, it's a great to just get out.
Yeah.
And you want to sell him the tickets, so you're going to get it someplace else, and then those are the winning numbers. That was funny.
And how they basically fooled Garrett into, you know, being nice and selling lots of lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, he'd get a bonus or something.
If you sell the winning ticket, you get, like, $5,000 or something like that, yeah. And what was then the B story is Amy trying to get a raise.
Yep.
Glenn's not allowed to give raises anymore since the new district manager. He's also not allowed to hug people.
Right.
Which is funny. So then he tries to hug Amy to comfort her, but he can't. So then he makes Amy hug herself while he hugs himself.
Yep.
And then they can just, like, you know, pretend they're embracing each other. That was hilarious.
That was awesome. Because that was very Glenn. So then they go out to the golf course because they find out that she's out there. I love the logic. On
Instagram, they find that she's at the golf course.
Yeah. Well, I love the logic because they called up and they're like, you know, yeah, can we speak to her? Who's calling? Yeah. It's Amy. Oh, she's not available. Well, wait a minute. You asked who was calling first. So that means that she is available. You just don't want to give her the phone because it's us.
Yeah.
But yeah, they find out she's at the golf course, and
she's like, "Well, what is, you know?" She's like, "I'm just trying to call about getting a raise. No, just leave her the message. What's it about? I'm looking for a raise. Oh, you want a raise? Well, there's a procedure for that.
Yeah.
And then cut to Glenn giving them like an education on
balancing oh my God.
Budget and this and that. And it's so hilarious. It's like, you know, say you make an average of $913 a month. I'm like, a month?
Yeah.
If you spend everything on XYZ, then, I mean, you really be able to budget that out. What about food? There's nothing in there for food at all.
Let's say there's $100 for other.
That would be the food. Yeah, that doesn't work, Glenn. Or, like, there's no money for this, or there's no money for that, or blah, blah, blah.
Child care,
on and on. Or, like, and then, like, going to the doctor, even. Like, it's
right.
Like you don't want us to go. And then it's like, and then it's like, all right, the next section, Uncle Sam, come get your food, or social services, let Uncle Sam give you your food or whatever. Yeah. And it's just like, oh my God, they're coaching the employees how to go on state aid.
Exactly.
And state assistance. That is so horrible.
Oh.
But then she goes to the golf course.
And runs into the district manager, quite literally.
Literally, yeah.
With a golf cart.
Not even figuratively.
Because, you know, Jonah's like, whoa, better slow down. You know, you're going a whole 2 miles an hour. It's like, well, I don't want to miss her. Yeah. These things are unpredictable. And then she runs right into her because she's going downhill and doesn't know how to hit the brakes. And
then while she's laying on the ground, wounded and injured, waiting for the ambulance, Amy's like, can I get a raise?
And she's like asking the EMT, she's like, you know, can I ask her that? Can you? Yeah. Sure. Would I recommend it? No. But it was another case of, you know, Jonah basically, when they were all talking about their lottery dreams, Jonah had said that he would just love to travel the world, you know, nobody in tow, all by himself. And Kelly's like, wow, what about me? Thanks. And so then he's trying to justify it later. And yeah. She's like, no, I get it. Your wildest fantasies don't have me in them. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. Have you noticed that Kelly always wears shirts where, like, the shoulder is open?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's her fashion thing.
It's her style.
So, you know, he tells her, oh, I'm going to make reservations at this restaurant. We're going to go have a nice romantic restaurant.
No, I made reservations at that Irish
place
that serves Italian food you love so much.
Yeah, like which is weird.
Yeah.
And basically, interesting. Basically, he forgets it. No, that's an 800 number. He forgets.
Yeah, he forgets about the reservation.
Because him and Amy are drinking beer together.
Amy once again.
Yep.
And then it ends with them at the putting range and him, you know, standing behind Amy, showing her how to putt in that oh-so-sensual way that's completely platonic.
Yep.
And then Kelly's sitting there waiting by the door, like, calling him, like, hey, did you forget about our dinner? Just let me know.
Yep. So. they're not going to be long for this world.
Well, it's Jonah's fault, but no.
Yeah. Jonah's a terrible character.
He really is. Yeah. Not a good... not a good person.
L.A. to Vegas.
L.A. to Vegas. Refresh my memory.
Training Day.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Because they don't get... What were all the things that they don't give their employees?
The list is too long.
It was like vacation time, sick time, personal time. They don't give them anything.
Health insurance, yep. On and on and on. But they have the training days once a year where they go and they basically just supply them with tons and tons of booze so they can just...
And places to screw.
Yeah. And they show up and it's actual training.
Yeah. Yeah. This year things have changed a little bit.
Yeah. And then Captain Dave goes to the other captains and like all the captains his age or his style are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then all it is the young kids who are, you know, not really. Well, they're arrogant.
By the book, arrogant.
Arrogant, kind of like you're old. Like,
yeah.
What you do doesn't really matter anymore.
Right.
I mean, like we're the future.
Yep.
Type of thing. And I like when Ronnie demands to know from the trainer why we're having this training. Why did you change things? And they play a video of like basically her and Bernard best of hits, like. Like you took a what was it? You took a not a customer, a passenger, and you weighed them down with luggage. Yes, because she needed to feel that to be comfortable. Or like they duct taped the drunk people in the seat, or
yep.
Just all the different things that they did.
Uh-huh.
And it was just hilarious.
And it was all them. They're the reason.
Yes,
all the complaints have come about them.
Yeah, and I like how the different runs dislike each other. Like Reno's a bunch of potheads, and Jacksonville's this and yep. Does that. And yeah, I enjoyed all that aspect of it. So, but yeah, Ronnie and Bernard not looking like they're gonna have jobs very much
until you know,
the flight home,
right?
And then on the flight home, she's trying to talk to the head lady again, and she sees that she's eating a cookie, and I like, how is it you're talking but you don't have a mouth? Where did you get that cookie? Did you get that from the Reno people? And then it turns out the whole plane, everyone's been drugged.
Right.
They're all high and they've all been drugged. And then the flight attendant can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And the pilot can't handle it. And yep. So, of course, Ronnie and Bernard. Oh, and that's the other thing. Ronnie and Bernard got pissed off at Captain Dave because Captain Dave was telling stories about them.
Yes.
Well.
Making them look even worse.
Yeah. Which he thought he was, like, telling funny stories about his crew. But right. In fact, he was. And so they all hate each other. Then, of course, you know, by the end, they're all working together and Captain Dave's taking over the flight, and I love his in-flight announcements, by the way.
Oh, my God.
He's like, you got to make an announcement. And he's like, everything should be okay, I think. That's not very reassuring.
No.
You know? And then Ronnie and Bernard are, like, duct taping people to the seat and weighing that girl down with the luggage and
yep.
Doing all the stuff that they can't do because, well, yeah, we're on the LA to Vegas flight. It's the worst flight there is. All we deal with is a bunch of drunks and drugs and, you know...
Yeah, and basically the other flight attendants have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we got this. This is our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So now the party is back on.
Yes.
Next year they will have their training with their party.
They get to keep their jobs. They realize that, yeah, they use unconventional methods, but clearly it's needed.
Right.
It was good.
Yeah.
Did we get anything with the passengers, though?
I feel like we did, but I don't recall it being very...
Obviously, it wasn't quite memorable.
No.
Yeah.
They had to take a different flight, I think.
Yeah.
Eh.
Anyways. So, yeah. Good episode.
Yep.
Kind of as always. I enjoyed the show. It's fun.
Yeah, it really is.
Shield?
Shield, yeah. The Honeymoon was what it was called.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think?
I thought they found Coulson and Talbot really fast.
Not just the good guys, but the bad guys, too.
Yeah, and I get the bad guys, you know, basically said, oh, they already set the coordinates on this machine. We're just going to use it to teleport to the exact same spot.
Yeah.
But the good guys were just like, oh, we've got a child's drawing in crayon of them near these mountains. We know exactly where they are. And they just popped down and found them. Deke got shot. Who cares?
Mac and the turncoat, now good girl, now no longer turncoat again. They got to work through the procedure of this emergency surgery that she's had no little training on. They're going like, it's like they're basically reading the manual as they go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And
he's all drugged up when he wakes up, and he thinks Daisy's pretty.
Yep, he wants to do stuff to Daisy with his mouth.
Yeah,
his words, not mine.
Yep. I want to take her mouth and put it on my mouth and like move our mouths around because that's what people do.
Yep, seems like it would be fun.
Yeah, it's almost like he had his wisdom teeth out type of drugging that you see on the comedy there.
Yeah, Coulson and Talbot have a little heart to heart. Yo-Yo and the Wonder Twins there head off to destroy the lab where the
chamber.
Yeah, where the chamber is that's going to create the Destroyer of Worlds. And the general there, she basically grounds her daughter because she's like, You're not doing things right, you're not listening to me, you need to be grounded.
And then she basically doesn't kill her mom but locks her in her own room saying, can't tell me what to do.
Yeah, because Von Strucker comes and basically tells her, hey.
Von Strucker's manipulating the shit out of her.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
And so basically those two take off together. They're going to go to the chamber. Yeah. And we've got the Russian guy who's more robot than man. They beat him up. And it turns out that he was somehow controlling all of these... all of these robots, and as soon as he got taken offline, they all got taken offline. So
that was convenient.
Yeah.
We found out that Yo-Yo, which I had actually wondered about this, and I hadn't addressed it at all, but they finally did here. Yo-Yo, her new metal arms, robotic arms, can't keep up with how fast she moves, and it basically causes them to...
Short out feedback on her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Fitz is like, well, I can calibrate them, but not here.
Yeah. So they got some work to do on those.
And then at the end, Hale's daughter there, the psycho.
Ruby,
yeah. She basically forces Fitz and Simmons to rebuild, to fix the thing they broke. And or she's going to, you know, bleed them out.
Mm-hmm.
And Fitz is just like, I don't think we ever had a choice.
Yeah.
I think we always were supposed to do this.
Yeah, Fitz is pretty much resigned to the fact that
they
can't change history. Can't change time. It's going to happen no matter what. We shall see, I guess.
And then, of course, at the end, Talbot gives Daisy song and dance. We want to talk to his wife and his kid and relates to her. And she's like, well, if I would have heard from my dad, then I probably would have been happier, too. And so she gets him a phone to use to call his wife.
Which seems fine at first.
And he calls. And I assumed he was going to call Talbot. I mean, Hale.
Right.
But he calls his wife. And she apparently has been taken as well, or it's not actually his wife. I don't know.
No, it's his wife, okay. But she's being, like, she's been taken by Hale's people.
So she basically reads a script to him, and it's the Hydra brainwashing one where it's like, are you ready to comply? And he's like, oh, I'm ready to comply.
Mm-hmm.
So Hale's been, Talbot's been activated within the base of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Manchurian Candidate shit right there, man.
Basically, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little brainwashing
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Government. Damn government.
Let's see here. Did you watch anything else?
Yep. Deception was good this week.
I did not watch that.
Billy Zane was a guest star.
I like Billy Zane.
Yep. It was all about tagging and graffiti and 3D images and stuff. And it was good. I enjoyed it. Opened up the story a little bit more about the strange lady.
Okay.
The Crossing. I watched the second episode. Have you watched any of that yet?
Forgot about it.
Okay.
What channel's that on?
ABC, I believe.
I'll have to check to see if it's on Hulu.
But basically, we find out that they're from 2187. And we got to see a little bit more of the backstory of the primary female that we're invested in. She is an Apex, and the girl that is her daughter was a common, as they call them, but she rescued her as a baby. Well, she went in to raid a common facility and was, like, killing people and took the baby. There's a disease that was invented by the Apex that they're immune to, but regular humans are not, and that's what was wiping people out. And that girl has it, but she got a treatment using Apex blood that suppressed it.
Yeah.
But now that she's in the past, it looks like it may be flaring up again. So that could be a problem. So I'm still enjoying it. It's still a good mystery.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. I watched the first 5 episodes of Lost in Space.
Oh, okay. I have not watched any of it.
So Let me rephrase it. I'm going to say that again. I started last Friday and watched the first 5 episodes of Lost in Space at 10.
Huh. And you had a lot of free time.
I had a lot of free time.
Didn't continue watching?
No.
Interesting.
Let me ask you this, Joe.
Okay.
When you think of Lost in Space,
yep.
What is it that comes to mind?
Danger, Will Robinson.
Fair enough. Storyline-wise, what comes to mind?
A family who got lost in space, basically. They are way off course. They have no way of charting their way back, and they're just trying to make their way back and hoping each time that the next leap will be the leap home.
And how many people are on this show?
Well, if you go by the original show, I don't remember exactly, but I know that there was the father and the mother. There was Will. There was Penny. There was the older kid. There was the security officer. There was the old guy who was the scientist, and there was the robot.
Dr. Smith. And then the security officer. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So they're lost in space.
Yep.
And there's a limited cast of people.
Correct.
That sounds like a good show.
Yeah.
And for the first 4 episodes of this run of Lost in Space, it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Nice.
And then they found a bunch of fucking people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And you remember how, you know how I'm not a fan of politics.
Yeah.
Political stuff.
Right.
But do you remember how on Battlestar Galactica, how the politics made it actually just amazing?
Yeah.
The way it was done.
Oh, yeah.
And just how the show was so good. And just how amazing it was.
Absolutely.
The politics that we're seeing on Lost in Space are not
good. Oh, okay.
I really enjoyed the first 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 4, I was enjoying to a point.
Okay.
And then episode 5, I'm like, this isn't Lost in Space. I mean, they're technically lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they technically were in space.
Okay.
But this is not Lost in Space.
Okay.
You know, like, it's too many people.
Okay.
I talked to my buddy Brandon about it. He also watched the first 4 episodes, and his synopsis was he really, really liked it. He even overlooked, like, kind of the little minor plot holes and this and that, and how the robot's different. And he likes it all. And then now he's kind of where I'm at. And he's like, I don't like all these fucking people.
Ah, interesting.
Will I finish it someday? Yeah, sure. I'm not driven to watch it, though.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking forward to how I take it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to your take on it as well.
Cool.
And the first 3 episodes were great.
Nice.
Like, really great. Like, I was digging the hell out of it. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
And maybe it's going to get great again. I don't know.
It's going to make Lost in Space great again.
Yeah. Did you watch any trailers?
Yes. I didn't watch any movies. They released a new official trailer for Ocean's 8. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I saw bits of it, but I didn't watch it. I just avoided it.
I loved the Ocean's movies.
I did too. I thought they were great.
I think that this one will be, I mean, you could say, oh, well, it's the all-female cast. I just look at it as it's going to be another heist movie where they pull off an impossible thing
with a group of people.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to about it, is just another great heist movie.
Nice.
They released a new trailer for Deadpool 2.
Didn't watch it, but I heard about it.
It was great. I'm done watching the trailers for it because I don't want to see any more, but it looks really good. They definitely are setting Cable up as the villain.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, He seems to be the one that they're all fighting against in this, repeatedly in different scenes and different areas, and they really are at odds with Cable. Hmm. So that's interesting.
On the news side of things,
yeah,
we lost
two
people.
Great actors.
Yeah. We lost Harry Anderson.
Yeah.
Judge Harold T. Stone of Night Court.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I had forgotten about his Dave's World show he did.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Barry.
Yep.
And then we lost the gunny, Arlie Emery. Yeah.
That guy has been in so much stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Full Metal Jacket, yes. He was Sarge in The Frighteners, which was awesome.
Such a great movie.
He was the janitor's dad in Scrubs.
Yep.
I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff. And he's always the same guy. The same gruff Marine Corps.
Yep.
you know.
And it works for him.
It really does.
That's what he was.
Yep.
Well, it starts with Full Metal Jacket.
Yep.
You know, and he, that whole
Private Pot.
All this improvising that he did and everything. You know?
Yep. I mean,
it's pretty amazing.
So quotable. Like,
oh, God.
Jesus.
There's so many things that are quotable. Like, one of my favorites, which you can't use nowadays, because you probably couldn't use that either.
Steers and Queers?
No, not that one. That's good. Was, and the best part of you ended up a brown, ran out of the crack of your mama's ass, ended up a brown stain on the sheet. I think you've been cheated. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you've been cheated. That's what really drives it home for me.
Yep. Adds that little to it.
But I watched a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
Nothing new.
No.
I watched some classics. I watched Tremors.
Oh wow.
Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward, you know, Michael Gross. I forgot Reba McEntire was in it.
Oh yeah.
I remember the dad from Family Ties. Yeah, I forgot Reba McEntire was in it. Yeah, I watched it with my son. Worms in the Earth, if you're not familiar. Apparently there's 4 Tremors movies now. I knew about 3. I didn't know there was a 4th.
Yeah.
I'm not planning on watching parts 2, 3, or 4.
No.
But it was fun to watch. I hadn't seen it in such a long time.
Oh, yeah. Tense for its time, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was. And even though it's a horror movie, I think it was only rated PG. And I knew it wouldn't leave any lasting scares on him because, A, there's no desert around here.
Right.
And I really can't imagine he'd think there's actually giant worms in the earth that are going to eat him.
You never know.
But whatever.
Kids have active imagination.
They do. I also introduced my son to Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah? Like they shook hands and everything?
No. Just movie-wise.
Oh, okay.
Like, because again, I can't do a lot. And I had my son with me this weekend. And it was just the 2 of us, basically. Yeah. I started out with an Americanized version of Jackie Chan, because I figured I hadn't seen it in a long time. The comedy would help. Shanghai Noon.
Oh, yeah.
Great flick. And then, of course, we watched Shanghai Night.
I was going to say, you got to follow up with.
Yeah. And then later that day, we watched. I was like, all right, you've seen Americanized Jackie Chan with the comedy buddy flicks. Now I'm going to show you the movie that I fell in love with Jackie Chan with. So we watched Rumble in the Bronx.
Nice.
He enjoyed it thoroughly. Even the cheesy dialogue, the over-the-top acting from the American actors, but the action scenes in it, he was like, this is amazing. And then, like, he loved the fact that, like, no wires, you know, no big stunts. And then you see the not really, it's not a blooper reel, it's the injury reel at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where during the credits, they show you all the accidents and mishaps and everything. And he had the reaction I had when I first saw it. So that was cool for me.
Nice.
You know, just sharing that.
Yep.
And then we watched another Jackie Chan movie the next day. We ended up watching Who Am I?
Nice.
But you haven't seen any of these movies. You're missing out. Who Am I? It's got this most phenomenal rooftop fight scene. It's just so great. I also watched, Constantine.
Nice. Yeah,
it was a solid flick.
Yep. Makes you miss Matt Ryan though.
Yeah. Oh, massively. Artem from,
L.A. to Vegas.
L.A. to Vegas. He plays Lucifer in this.
Yep.
I forgot about that until I saw him, so that was cool. And then I like the I won't give it away if you haven't seen it. Just watch it. I watched The Bone Collector. I haven't seen that in a long
time. Oh, wow, yeah.
Denzel Washington playing the quadriplegic detective, though.
Yeah.
And Angelina Jolie as a taxi, I guess. Ed O'Neill was in that. Michael Rooker's in that. There's a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, I watched The Final Destination. Not the final movie. It was like part 4, the racetrack one.
Okay.
Because I felt like watching one when my internet was down last week while they were upgrading it here. I watched Predator and Predator 2.
Wow.
And Alien versus Predator. Felt like watching Predator. I hadn't watched the first Predator movie in so long. And
you didn't watch Predators?
No.
Oh.
I would have. I didn't have it available to me.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't on HBO.
Okay. Then I'll cut you some slack.
Because if I would have watched it, we went to the theaters and saw it.
Yes, we did.
I would watch that again.
Great twist with Topher Grace.
A massively good twist with Topher Grace. I didn't see that coming at all.
Nope.
But yeah, like when I was a kid, and this is wrong, but when I was a kid, like 10, 11, 12, I watched Predator dozens of times.
Oh, I did too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. There's stuff that I watched when I was a kid. I never watched my son watch now. You know, but I watched Predator dozens
of times. As I've said many times, I remember going to the drive-in with my parents.
Yeah.
And watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right. Yeah.
In the drive-in.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways, and Predator 2 with Danny Glover, like, their future, I mean, it was 1997 Los Angeles, and it was filmed in, like, 92, so.
Yeah.
Like, the drug lords are taking over, and, like, no one has a regular handgun. It's like, it's not just a handgun, it's a handgun with, like, some sort of weird additive to it to make it look bigger than it is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not just a scope or whatever, but it's like, they altered it to make it look deadlier, fancier,
right.
Whatever. It's just absurd, but whatever.
Yep.
And then Alien versus Predator is kind of solid. And then I watched this movie. I hadn't watched this in forever, and I forgot how great it was. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The original or the new one with
Martin Freeman?
Nice.
Yeah, the one with Martin Freeman.
Great
flick. How good that was.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Kanan and I also watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Nice.
And of course, you know, with, great movie.
It is.
There's some parts in that movie that really get you in the feels.
Oh yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But great movie. Weird seeing, like, you know, Michael Rooker in like three different roles this past week.
I'm Mary Poppins, yo. Yeah.
So. Thanks. Yeah.
I saved one article from the web because I wanted to make sure that I got it all correct.
Nice.
Basically, USA Network has announced four new pilots that they're picking up.
Okay. Now, hold on real quick.
Sure.
Before you jump into that.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day when USA Network had some great shows?
Yeah.
On all the time?
Yep.
Like, what, Monk?
Yep.
They did The Dead Zone, actually.
Yep.
Monk, the one with Tiffany Shepard, Thiessen, what's her name?
Oh, yeah, White Collar.
White Collar was great.
Yep.
Suits
was good.
The witness protection one.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
That was a good one. That was an excellent show.
And then the one with Piper Perabo.
Yeah, and then, like, people really liked Psych. I wasn't a fan of it. But it seems like, maybe it's because I watched less TV, USA hasn't had a good show in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe they're trying to fix it with this.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Robot is a USA.
Okay, you're right, but not a lot of these shows were in the same vein.
Right. Right.
So these
are the four pilots that they're doing. Treadstone. From the producer of the Bourne franchise, Treadstone explores the origin story and present-day actions of a CIA Black Ops program known as Treadstone, a covert operation that uses behavior modification protocol to turn its agents into nearly unstoppable superhuman assassins. The series follows sleeper agents across the globe as they're mysteriously awakened to resume their deadly missions. So, basically, it's the Bourne universe.
That's cool.
That'll be a cool show, I think.
All right.
You know, I can get behind that. It's going to be – Treadstone is written and executive produced by Tim Kring. Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Second one, Briar Patch. Based on the Ross Thomas novel of the same name, Briar Patch follows Allegra Dill, a dogged investigator returning to her border town, Texas home after her sister is murdered by a car bomb. What begins the search for a killer turns into an all-consuming fight to bring the corrupt hometown Allegra – thought she left behind to its knees. Written for television by Andy Greenwald, who will executive produce along with Mr. Robot creator Sam Esmail through his production company Esmail Corp. And anonymous contents Chad Hamilton, the series celebrates the beloved genre that Thomas' book represents, a unique blend of crime, thriller, mystery, and pulp fiction.
Okay.
It could be interesting.
I wasn't there until you said Sam Esmail was involved.
Exactly. Dare Me. Based on the acclaimed novel by Megan Abbott, who serves as writer and executive producer along with Gina Fator, is an unflinching exploration of volatile female friendships, jealousy, loyalty, and the dynamics of power in a small Midwestern town. Peering behind the All-America facade, the series dives into the cutthroat world of competitive high school cheerleading, following the fraught relationship between two best friends after a new coach arrives to bring their team to prominence.
Yes.
Don't care. Now, this one sounds interesting.
Okay.
Erase. Created by Dennis Leary and Alex Carey and starring Leary, erases the story of Donald O'Neill, a dirty ex-cop who decides to do the right thing and bring down his complicit superior officers. Like it so far. But his best weapon in this battle, a photographic memory, is suddenly compromised by symptoms of early-onset Alzheimer's. In this gritty crime thriller laced with elements of black comedy, Donald races against time to repair the damage he's done to his estranged family while trying to avoid being killed by his enemies.
Huh. I don't know.
I think it sounds interesting. He's got a photographic memory, but now he's getting Alzheimer's.
The first two had me. Mm. The last two, less and less.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The third one, don't care. But I had to include it in the list because, you know, it's part of the...
Right. Understandable.
Nope. So, those would be interesting, especially Treadstone. I'm really looking forward to that.
Sounds good, yeah.
Yep. I think they could do a lot with that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But I think that's all I got for this week.
Me too. All right, let's wrap it up then.
All right. So thanks for listening. You can find me out there on the...
He's always got this shit-eating grin on his face at this point because he knows. He knows he's going to be pushing my buttons. It's like his favorite part of the show. He just gets this giant grin on his face. He's like, how am I going to do it today? Right, okay, how am I going to fuck with him today?
Let me ask you this.
All right.
Let me ask you this. Why do people annoy other people?
Because it's fun for them?
To generate a reaction.
Yeah.
If you don't generate a reaction, it's not funny. You don't do it. So, John, don't make it
Oh, you're saying
me.
It's my fault. It's my fault you're a dick.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you didn't react.
It's my fault that you're a dick. Wow.
Basically what
that
saying.
Is some passive-aggressive shit. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in an abusive relationship right here. If you didn't cry so much, I wouldn't keep hitting you. It's your fault for crying. You make me so mad, I gotta keep hitting you. What the fuck, man? Now I got him crying.
Oh, gosh, I needed that laughter.
Continue. They can find you on the Twitter bot verse net machine allegory.
Up there in the Twitterverse, yeah. You can find me at Superstar Mel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch? Facebook is What Did You Watch? Just speaking
of. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Such a dick.